I wish I knew sometimes what or why God was just being silent until Sunday morning. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Came in yesterday and sat here for a few hours and just started writing some stuff down. Most of what I wrote down I haven't used, but some of it I did. And came in this morning and just felt empty. I don't know if you've ever been there, just empty. What am I going to minister to? What am I going to preach? I didn't have anything going. You know, there are times you know you've connected. There are times you know you understand that this is just the way to go. Well, this morning, as I knelt and prayed and read the Bible, my devotions, and as I got ready to go out to the table, everything started to open up. I'm probably preaching over my head this morning. You can judge that, or you can say, I sure wish he wouldn't ate pizza yesterday, or whatever it was. But there's some things where God wants to take us. And I've been watching DVDs, and I've been listening to a CD this week, and I'm not trying to steal somebody else's material. Some of the stuff is going to rub into this message, but I'm not preaching Arthur Burke's message. I'm just taking off to bring some security to the body of Christ. If I was going to entitle the message, I'd entitle it, "Who Are You Listening To?" Or "Are You Walking in the Security of the Holy Spirit?" There's a term we're going to use, and it's called legitimacy. And God wants us to have legitimacy in our relationship with Him. I didn't take this from a book. I just sat down and wrote it this morning, and you'll probably understand after I read it to you. It didn't come from some educated author. But I want us to see something that's absolutely, if we get a hold of this, we're going to be blessed. Barb handed me some stuff on the victim spirit this past week. I read that. And there are times we have that victim spirit. There are times things just need to be broken off. And then there are times we just need to take the truth and live it. As I started writing, many people focus on what they are not and what they don't have instead of focusing on who lives in them and what He has made them and what He is giving them. Anybody ever focus on what you're not? Your soul or mind is trying to control you and at times doing everything in its power to hinder you and your walk and your life in the Spirit. It will keep you focused on lack and what is wrong and all kinds of negativity, jealousy, and a poor me attitude. We need to focus on the fact we are loved and accepted by a holy God who did everything He could to bring us into His family and make us new creations, impart everything that we need for life and godliness. Lack is not a word that's used in heaven, because lack has no reference point in heaven. Do you ever think of that? Everything you look around in heaven is abundance. There's nothing they can associate with lack. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And grace will able and empower you to walk out His blessings. You know, everything we see and all the things and Supreme Court rulings and all the stuff going on never caught God by surprise. Your feelings right now, what you're focusing on right now, what you're going through right now, what's your attitude, what is the feelings in your body, the pain, the hurts, the joy, the peace, God understands all that. But there's three or four things I just want to, because it gripped me this morning as I suddenly started thinking of some stuff. Because whether you want to know it or not, there's insecurity at times as me and a pastor. There's insecurity at times when you start focusing on all different kinds of things. And your mind or your soul wants to control you to the place where you never listen to your spirit. God speaks to your spirit and not your mind. And then your spirit is supposed to renew your mind. A lot of stuff we do is mental. A lot of stuff we do is based on how we feel, or like we said last week, our perspective of life, or what other people are doing. And there are times we don't say no to the crowd that wants to pull us away from God. Not necessarily always into sin, but they're just not concerned about God. And we don't say no to them because we don't want to hurt their feelings. And we don't have enough security in our relationship with God to walk this life out in that anointing that God wants you to have and wants you to live. God just opened up a verse that is so basic. It's found in Romans chapter 8. If you want to go there, maybe you need to mark it. And I've preached on this verse, and I've preached on it here. But just turn with me to Romans 8 if you have your Bibles, and verse number 14. And then I'm going to minister on verse 16 basically. But I want to just get your attention on these. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Now look at me for a moment. To be led by the Spirit, you have to listen to what the Spirit's telling you. To listen to what the Spirit's telling you, He needs to communicate with your spirit. Arthur Burke said one thing that just hit me right between the eyes, and that is, your mind or your soul will try to keep you from listening to what God is telling you. Just wants to shut you down. Tim LaHaye, everybody ever hear of Tim LaHaye? He wrote a book years ago, The Battle for the Mind. The Battle of the Mind. And that you are having a battle until your mind is renewed between your spirit and your mind, your soul. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, verse 15, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now listen to this. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Say spirit with me.
Spirit.
God speaks. Say this with me. God speaks, to my spirit, first, and not to my mind first. God wants to get hold of your spirit. And God speaks to your spirit, so your spirit through the Holy Spirit can renew your mind. Are we okay? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. We are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified with Him. We get into many negative, depressing, frustrating emotions. Because in basically most people's lives, the mind is all they live by. We think and we act upon our thoughts. Did you ever do anything and you said, I did this without thinking? But you know something? You really thought? I said something without thinking? No, it was there. But in the body of Christ, because there's a fear that comes in, am I pleasing God? Am I walking with God? Is God sitting up there with a piece of chalk and eraser, and on my good days he writes my name in the book of life, and on the bad days he erases them? Did I do this right? Is this part? Is God happy with me today? Am I pleasing God? Am I walking this out? Is God with me, or am I on my own? And we kind of live in that area. Now, look at me for a moment. If you had parents that were hard to please, if you had a father that could never say, hey, I love you, thank you, you did a good job. If you've lived that life, there's an indwelling insecurity from a relationship that never measured up. That's going to bring insecurity in the relationship with our father. Because what's our reference point? Our reference point to our heavenly father, even though it shouldn't be, is our earthly father. We understand that. If you walked in a relationship with your earthly father that you felt the inconsistency, you felt, I can only please him if I do, I can only get this done if I'm doing exactly what he tells me, when he tells me, at the time he tells me, and if I don't get it done, he doesn't love me. It's so easy in your Christian walk to abide by the law instead of grace. It's so easy if you're doing everything right and you feel that I have significance because I'm doing things right and everything's in order, and there I know God loves me. But whoa, I didn't get a chance to read my Bible today. I didn't get a chance to do the prayer thing. I didn't get an opportunity. God must really be upset with me. You really think he lives that way? And so what I want to do this morning is just bring a security. And what I want to tell you is that the Holy Spirit, through your spirit, brings legitimacy in your relationship with God. You don't hear the term anymore, but let me go back to it. It's just, I'll date myself. But when children were born out of wedlock, what were they called? Illegitimate. Illegitimate children, or the B word. And children would try to find their earthly father or their earthly mother, their earthly mother for years, because something was missing. And they couldn't get through it. Now, I want you to understand something. Whether you were conceived in the back seat of a car or you were conceived in some other area out of wedlock, there is no illegitimate children in the family of God. Come on. God has never looked at you as illegitimate. God, even when you were born to an illegitimate relationship, God still loved you. And so if you've been fighting that, if that's been going through your head, get rid of it in the name of Jesus. Recognize that God loved you so much that he's adopted you into his family. And so there are times we really need to have our relationship with God understood to the place where we have no problem coming to Him. We have no problem being in His presence. We have no problem asking Him for something. We have no problem praying to Him. And you know, the old concept, well, He's got 6 billion or 7 billion people to look at on this earth. How in the world and why in the world should I interrupt? The word legitimate means to bring status of justification, legal status with God as His legitimate children, to make it right to identify with God our Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That legitimizes you. How many still realize the Holy Spirit is God? And how many realize the Holy Spirit is not doing something that the Father is displeased with? And so at times we walk around in need. We walk around not wanting to bother our Father. We walk around at times with fear and trembling because we're so concerned that we are missing something or we're doing something wrong or things aren't working out for us and we had a bad hair day and we had things going on. And God is saying, wait a minute, come. Come, child. What do you do when your child's sick? You push him off and lock him in a room? Is that what happens, Isaac? No. No, I didn't think so. You got a pretty good daddy there, don't you? And you know daddy loves you. And you know daddy takes care of you. And so because daddy takes care of you as you grow, you can be sure that God's going to take care of you. Right? Yep. That's good. See, he got it quick. But there are things and there are times that our mind or our soul gets in the way and blocks our spirit from receiving. Can I tell you something? Your spirit knows all this. God put that spirit in you so that he would have something, something within us, and this a living spirit is not never going to die, to communicate with and to express his love to, and so that your spirit can begin to work with the mind, and when the mind gets negative and the mind is listening to the devil instead of the Holy Spirit, your spirit's not going to listen to the devil once you're a Christian, but your mind will. Are we okay? Are we confused? And so we begin to walk this out in wholeness. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, I want you to be complete in spirit, soul, and body. Now, if you were going to write that because of our focus on the body, we usually put body, soul, and spirit, don't we? But the main part of you is your spirit. And your spirit hungers for a relationship with God, but many times our spirit's in the background. Arthur Burke says, and I'm not trying to preach his message, but Arthur Burke said there are times you just need to tell your spirit to take, or you tell your soul to back up. Back off so the spirit can be in charge. Just back down. I'm not listening to you right now. So as you begin to think this, and you begin to realize that you have legitimacy with God as his child, and if that wasn't so, why would he make you an heir? How many of you have just picked somebody off the street and said, I'm leaving everything I got to you? Come on. God is leaving what he has, giving what he has, even though he's not leaving. He's giving it all to us. Look at what the Bible says. I want you to see this. Verse number 17 of Romans chapter 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what it means to me. It might not mean that to you. It means that I am legitimately adopted into his family, and he views me as he views Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Do you ever stop and think, and I'm not trying to get new age or something else, that God looks at us and he wants fellowship with us. He wants communion with us. He identifies with us as he does his own son who died on the cross for us. Can you accept that kind of love? Can you accept, look at me, can you accept that? Can you finally come to a place of saying, I'm not going to heaven by the skin of my teeth. God has chosen to put his spirit in me. I'm not just living on the edge of falling off and backsliding and going to hell. I got to do all this stuff. I got to earn all this stuff. I got to get to all this stuff. If I don't make it, man, if I miss church on Sunday and I'm at Roy Lake like some of the sinners, no, I mean like some of the people are, I'm not going to hell. Man, if a cow kicks Curtis in the gutter some Sunday morning and he can't get here, it's okay. Now, maybe not the gutter, but it's okay. If that happens, I'm in trouble. I'm sorry. I redact that. But you know, we come to a place where we are so insecure. And because we're fearful, we don't take risk. Look at me. We don't do what God's telling us because we're afraid it might not be God. You ever been there? Well, what if this is just me? What if I'm just doing this and all of a sudden I feel led to go pray for Scott, but I'm praying for his sickness and there's nothing wrong with him. At least you blessed him. We become Christian, but we come handicapped by our fears of upsetting God. Do you realize the last time you sinned, if you did, he didn't fall off his throne? I'm not trying to preach some gospel that isn't gospel. I'm trying to bring us to a place where he has raised us up, made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Do you realize we're here, but we're there too already? Do you think God invites you to his place if he don't want you around? Do you ever have JW or somebody knock on your door and try to get in and you're holding them out because you didn't invite them and you don't want to hear what they have to say and you're just kind of saying, hey, you're not welcome here. I'm sorry. I don't believe your doctrine. I don't believe what you believe. I don't believe what you preach. I don't believe who you're serving. You have a right to even shoot somebody if they're going to come in and hurt your family. At least we used to. But listen to me. We think God invites us to be raised up and to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 2:6, and he doesn't want us around? He is so interested in you, he says, I want your whole body, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you whole. I want you complete. I want you functioning, spirit, soul, and body in that order. And I want to bless you more than you could ever imagine. Will you accept the fact that I'm your Father? I love you. I gave my Son for you. Can you accept that He loves you? And that He has passions for you? Well, it's good for Billy Graham. Can I tell you something? Billy Graham was a wonderful person and is a wonderful person, but he's still just a person like you and I. And I love the man. I was watching him the other night on TBN or wherever they have these half-hour programs. Wonderful man of God. But can you look at yourself and say, the same God that changed Billy Graham years ago is working in my life and changing me and loves me equally? Can we do that? Are you a little impatient with your growth? Hello? Come on. Did you know God had that planned out too? Turn to me to Philippians 1:6. Are we okay? Look at Philippians 1:6. Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The process is ongoing. You may look at yourself and say, well, I'm just a spiritual midget. Quit doing that. If you're following Jesus and walking in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God and just giving your life to Jesus, you're right where God wants you. Can you accept that? That's another reason we need to listen to the Spirit and renew our mind through the Spirit so they're connected. Because there's a disconnect between the mind and the Spirit. He who has begun a good work in you. That work, look at me now, that work that the Holy Spirit is doing within you, even though you may be discontent with it, even though you may not be growing fast enough according to your opinion, God calls it good. If God calls it good, can't we? If God says, I'm doing within you what I want to do, can't we come to a place of saying, okay, God, go ahead and do it. This isn't in my notes, but somebody here, this is for you. Somebody here does not worship God in the way that God asked you to worship Him because you don't feel legitimate in that relationship. Worship God. He's inviting you. It's just like you put a cover over it because, well, I'm not this and I'm not that and I'm not the best Christian. What? Who is the best Christian? Who judges that? We sure don't, although we do at times. You mean they go to your church? Yeah. Bring out some more just like them. Worship God. Don't allow anything, anyone, any voice. Do you think God is up in heaven saying, I don't want you worshiping me? No, come in. In my presence is fullness of joy, and at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can I show you one more thing? 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I got a thought. How many of you had this person come to you and said, I want you to go on a trip? I've had this happen to me. We're paying all your expenses, and we want you to stay in the penthouse of the best hotel in town. We had a man, when I was pastoring in Virginia, sent us down to a Billy Graham crusade, paid everything, put us in a fancy hotel in St. Paul, and just said, I want you to go hear Billy Graham. So we went and heard Billy Graham. Everything was paid. You know, the first meal you order scrambled eggs and toast. Well, I don't want to take advantage of it. Pretty soon I'm ordering shrimp and steak. You know something? The man was pleased because we did. And so somebody comes to you and says, I'm paying for your vacation. You can go any place you want. I'm going to pay for it. You put you up in the Conrad Hilton or whatever, the Regency or whatever fancy motel is there. And you say, no, sir, I should really just stay in Motel 6 because they leave a light on for me. You know something? The man paying the expenses would be insulted. But you know something? We treat God that way. You know what I'm saying? God says, I want to bless you. I want to love you. I want to speak in your spirit that you're my child. And I'm not embarrassed by you. I am proud of you. I just want to demonstrate to the world, and that more than that, he wants to demonstrate to his angels, 1 Corinthians tells us, of who we are in him. And sometimes we back away from him and say, God, I just don't think I just don't think I'm acceptable. You know, I just don't think. Do you ever realize why God put the prodigal son story in the Bible? Do you think he was just looking for filler? God put the story of the prodigal son in the Bible because we were the prodigal son. And he loved us so much that when the prodigal son came home, he said, you can continue. You got an education now in pigiography. You can go feed the pigs. He didn't do that, did he? He never had any. He put the robe and the ring, the party. That's what God wants to do. We don't understand that. You say, well, I've messed up and I've been gone and I've been this. Don't worry about it. Come to Christ. Just come to Christ. Okay. I got so much going through my head. And I'm going to let you out because I'm hungry. No. That okay? You hungry? Tough. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. We okay? Did I give you that? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So we don't know. I mean, this is saying that we don't know, but don't stop there. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of God, man, except the Spirit of man, and which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. There's something that maybe we just have not heard or we have not understood, but it's this. God is constantly revealing. There is no ending of revelation. There's just ending to us listening and hearing and seeing. But as your life is activated and the Spirit within you is activated, there's a constant revelation process. We're not going to know it. We don't understand a lot about God because we're not allowing our spirit to be absolutely energized by the Holy Spirit. And as your spirit is energized by the Holy Spirit, there's revelation. It's not some witchcraft thing. It's not something. That is not focused on God. It's the Holy Spirit. Who knows the spirit of man? Your spirit. Your spirit knows exactly why you do what you do and all the things about you. And if I could open up your spirit today, I'd know everything I need to know about you, talking to you. But the Holy Spirit knows everything about God because he is God. And he takes from God and begins to reveal it to us and giving us revelation, not so that we can just have revelation, but so that we can share revelation. God reveals things to you while you're sleeping. Anybody know what I'm talking about? God reveals things to you while you're doing things that have nothing to do with it. It's amazing. You can get caught up in doing something and God's revealing something to you right at that moment. It's constant. Do you realize something? God tried to reveal stuff to you when you were living in sin, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God because they're not understood. There's so much blessing ahead of us. God's grace and God's mercy and God's compassion. And a lot of times we don't understand God's love and God's grace because they're trying to do it up here. Steady in here. But things get opened up. As they get opened up, I had my spirit opened up this week. Just opened up. You want to know something else? I'm not even going to preach this. This is not from me. This is from what I watched this week. And I'm experimenting with it right now. That healing comes from the Holy Spirit to your human spirit and your body's healed. I want you to understand that. My knee has been so much better since the other morning and I was watching the video for the afternoon. I said, okay, Holy Spirit, touch my spirit and heal the knee. I'm almost thinking going back, no, I'm not. There's so much there. There's so much that we miss because we're limited in our vision of how much God loves us. Can I tell you something? You may choose, pray this never happens, you may choose not to go to heaven, but even in hell, God loves you with the same love he loves you now. Don't make the decision. Experience the love because the love has amazing benefits. You're loved. I'm not talking New Age. What I got this morning came out of here with revelation from the Spirit of God.